GolfJ.com.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Golf J podcast on GolfJ.com. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Doug Brown here in the Finger Lakes 1.TV studios in Seneca Falls, New York. It's Monday, May 2nd, 2016, and tonight we'll be talking about the rain-shortened Zurich Classic. Is Tiger set to return this month? Maybe at the Memorial? Jarena Peller's final round stumble this weekend on the LPGA Tour. John Daly set to play his first event on the Champions Tour. We'll tell you what to look for if you're looking at maybe changing your putter. And we'll preview the action at the Wells Fargo this week at Quail Hollow. And also had a chance to sit down with one of the founders of Cricket Shirts, Billy Nachman, earlier last week. We'll tell you a little bit about that. And Rhett, not here tonight because he's been out in California playing Goat Hill, La Costa, and touring the Even Roll Putter Studios and Linksoul and doing a lot of fun stuff. We'll get an update on his trip. And, yeah, it must be nice to be Rhett, huh, Doug?
Well, it must be. I got big shoes to fill here tonight.
He's out there playing La Costa. We're in here toiling away in the studio. So before we get into it, game golf. You had game golf. I got game golf. Red, I saw, actually posted a round at El Rancho, right, in California that he played, and I got the notification. A bit of a struggle, though, and you're about at your wit's end with the game golf.
I just had some trouble getting the software set up or getting the my phone downloaded with the right app.
Yeah.
And then getting things okay on my laptop. So I think I'm ready to go Wednesday night, give it a try. I got it to functionally work with the device and the grip to the device on my belt. I got it to vibrate and signal and all that.
Sure.
But I wasn't capturing the data.
Yeah, and starting out with me, I was a little frustrated at first. There's not a lot of documentation. I wasn't sure how to do certain things and if certain things went wrong, how to kind of recover. I did find some answers online. I've used it successfully now for 3 rounds. I have to edit every round because it doesn't really get the putts right, and there is always one or two little mistakes.
Right.
But I actually found it fun to edit the round. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my knowledge, my learned knowledge with you. And unfortunately, I'm a pretty technology guy. So I'm afraid with that product that a lot of people that aren't comfortable with technology will just struggle with it, and
right,
it's unfortunate because I think it's a good product, but you need to spend some time, a little more time than maybe you think. It doesn't just, everything out of the box isn't necessarily intuitive. So we'll give it a full review in about a month,
right,
and we'll include your thoughts as, but right, I'm going to try to get you hooked up so on Wednesday night we can be good to go.
Yeah, that's part of my problem. I'm not like you as far as that IT stuff.
Well, you know, a lot of people that will use the product aren't.
Right.
And so it's got to be, it shouldn't be so confusing.
User-friendly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and Rhett's not having any problem. Look, he's posting every round, La Costa, Goat Hill, El Rancho. He's out there game golfing it. He must, over the past 4 days, tagged his belt 200-something times. He's playing so much golf, so. we'll actually hear from Rhett in a bit here. But first, let's talk PGA Tour, and Brian Stewart wins his first PGA title at the Zurich on a Monday finish. Not a huge fan of the Monday finish because most people are at work and don't get to, you know, see it, but nonetheless, it's a win, a 54-hole win. He ended up, and a lot of people might not even have seen this yet because it just happened this morning, but Stewart never bogeyed a hole throughout the tournament, beat Jamie Lovemark on the second hole of a playoff Monday to capture his first PGA Tour win at the Waterlogged Zurich Classic of New Orleans. TPC Louisiana was drenched with more than 4 inches of rain during the tournament. Weather delays on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday forced a Monday finish, led officials to shorten the tournament to 54 holes. The playoff was Lovemark, Stewart, Byung-Hun An, and they all were 15 under after Lovemark three-putted the last hole of regulation.
Right.
Par 5, he was 9 and 2. He needed a two-putt for a birdie to win his first PGA Tour event. Right. And he three-putt, left both putts short. So Stewart, the seventh first-time winner at the Zurich in the past 10 years. And it's almost you get all the perks from a PGA Tour win with a 54-hole right. win, but it's not the same, Doug, as, you know, having to sleep on that 54-hole right. lead.
I think the players would tell you the same thing. They would rather play 72, go through that whole the pressure and coming down the stretch for the 72nd hole and win it in four rounds. I think they would tell you that. Certainly this guy gets the benefits. He's going to go to the Masters, and he's going to go to the Tournament Champions in Hawaii. I think he got like $1.2 million, which is a huge payday. But that's the tour policy, 36 holes. I think they still get the money, but they don't get the other benefits, like the Masters.
Oh, really?
And the Tournament okay. Champions. I believe they get the money at 36 holes, but they don't get the other stuff. So, but I think you talk to anybody, they would prefer going 72.
It's also, you know, if you're one of the top players that skipped the event this week, right. it's great because what a grind it is to be called off the course, sit around, and you see right. pictures on social media of these guys. They're just sitting in small rooms, you know, and some of them right. sleeping on the floor, some of them in uncomfortable chairs, right. listening to music, and then, you know, having to go back out, maybe just play a couple holes, come back in. Right. Some guys finish the round, some don't. It's right. it's got to affect a player heading into this week at Quail Hollow.
I would bet they're exhausted, you know, the in and out of that, because some of those days were down there 24-hour days when you get down to it. You get out to play four or five holes, and the whistle blows, and you got to leave the golf course for hours at a time. I don't know what it does to their – you know, the mental side and the physical side, because they loosen up. You know, they're athletes. Jason Day, for example, has back issues.
Sure.
So he probably goes through an awful lot of stuff to loosen up. Goes out and plays two or three holes, has to go in for two or three hours, maybe more.
Yeah.
And he might have done that two or three times one day.
It's got to increase the chance for injury.
Right. And in baseball, if you're the pitcher, you don't go back out.
Right.
Very seldom does a starting pitcher go back out. So I don't know how they keep themselves busy. They really can't leave because they never know when they're going to get told they got to go warm up, because I think they give them an hour from when they determine play is going to start to get them warmed up and get them out on a golf course. So they're trapped.
Yeah, yeah. They can't leave. And you know, normally these guys have posh accommodations uh-huh. and, you know, the sure. the courtesy cars, their food is all taken care of. Right. They're all really taken care of. But during these rain delays, right. you know, they're truly like common schlubs, you know.
That's right.
Because they really don't have any place to put all these right. guys at once. So they're hanging around. You know, they can't be outside because it's right. raining. So
yeah, you could have 100 golf professionals plus your caddies hanging out in that building with not comfortable chairs necessarily to sit in. And I'm not sure how much food's ready to go. Although it is New Orleans, probably can right. do okay. But there's other people, too. Think about the PGA Tour staff and the volunteers.
All the volunteers, yeah, and the spectators.
The grounds crew that probably work 24 hours.
Yeah.
They've got probably more difficult life than a golf professional.
It's very disappointing either way, because you work all year for right. this tournament if you're involved with the Zurich, and then to have it be less than, you know, what it could have been. Right. So, but another interesting thing about the 54-hole finish is that Dustin Johnson won the last three previous weather-shortened 54-hole finishes mm-hmm. in the PGA Tour prior to this year's Zurich, which he wasn't entered. Right. That's amazing. The last three times the PGA event was shortened to 54 holes, Dustin Johnson won it. And we were talking before the show about how maybe that makes those wins not, you know, Dustin Johnson's resume, three of his PGA right. Tour wins were 54-hole wins. He didn't have to close.
Right.
You know, it kind of just walked into it.
Yeah, the networks will broadcast the stats of how many times a 54-hole leader doesn't close the deal. And it's remarkable how many times they don't. You know, unless they got a 6 or 7 shot lead, which every once in a while that doesn't work out either, but 1 or 2 shot lead's not safe, as we saw in the LPGA.
Sure.
We'll get into that in a second, but it's probably better to chase than to be chased.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so at least this time they knew on Monday that it was 54 right. holes, and so it was did have a final round feel coming up the 18th, although I guess it didn't because it was literally, you know, a couple hundred fans
right.
there, you know.
Right.
So, but disappointing all the way around, but congratulations, Brian Steward, with the victory. And also in the news this week was the fact that first Tiger registered for the U.S. Open last week, and now Tiger is booked accommodations at the Memorial,
right,
which is the first week of June. So wild speculation that Tiger will come back at the Memorial. And adding more intrigue to the conversation is that Davis Love III told Golf Magazine last week that he would consider making Tiger a playing captain at the Ryder Cup, because he already said he'd be an assistant captain. So he would consider making him a playing captain in the Ryder Cup in September if Woods returns this year and is playing well. So, you know, if you're in Davis Love's shoes, how well would Woods have to be playing to warrant a captain's pick?
He'd have to be playing really well. And you know, I'm a Tiger fan, but it seems like he'd have to win two or three events and probably not make it up to the top 10. Or what are they doing, 9 or 10 for the automatic picks?
I'd say 10 and then two captain's picks, yeah.
So there's probably not enough time for him to raise that high. I guess he'd have to win two or three events out of like four for me to think he's that good.
Maybe play well in one of the majors this summer.
Yeah, but have to be really good. Just to make the cut and finish in the top 20, for example, I don't think you can give him a pick.
These guys, though, some of the captains seem to favor an old contemporary, because they remember how great they played against them 15 years ago,
right,
over, you know, a young guy, because they just believe in the guy that they saw play so well. And, right, you know, a name like Tiger Woods, I think that whoever's broadcasting the Ryder Cup would love to see him as a captain's pick, no matter how well he's playing.
Oh, I would think everybody would love to see him play. Yeah. I just question if it's a good even thing to talk about with the whole problem we had a couple years ago with Tom Watson and Phil Mickelson, and then we got this whole group of people together to pick the captain and all that criteria. I might stay away from that topic.
Yeah, and he would, well, how do you think he's going to do? Let's say he comes back for the Memorial. How do you think he'll do?
Well, let me ask you, let's back up a couple of weeks. Has he not decided to play TPC Sawgrass?
No, actually, there was some speculation he might play at Quail Hollow, but that didn't happen. So who's to say? And Sawgrass is right in his backyard. Right. He can leave the jet parked in the hangar. Yeah. And
because I thought I heard that he did the same thing for housing in Jacksonville as he did
no kidding.
In Columbus. Okay. So that's like, that's next week.
Right.
Right. So anyways, either one of those courses he knows very well. He's won the Memorial, I believe, six times.
Sure.
Something like that. Many, many times anyway. So to me, that's like a real home game for him. So he doesn't have to worry about course knowledge. It's not a U.S. Open venue that comes around once every 20 years. The same with Sawgrass. Even though his record's not as good as Sawgrass overall, he certainly knows the golf course, and he'd be comfortable there.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting when he does come back, because if he, what would be successful in his first tournament back? Making the cut?
Well, I think if either one of those venues, he played neither one of them, if he made the cut, would be a very good success.
Yeah.
At this point, to contend, I think would be a stretch, but I think making the cut in, you know, the low 60. I think that'd be tremendous.
Yeah, it's...
I know you're not a fan.
Well, I wouldn't say... You know, I wasn't a fan of Tiger when he was in his prime, because I felt that his dominance just was not as interesting as... he ruined a lot of chances for great rivalries and great finishes because he was so dominant. I also didn't think he was a very high character. But at this point, I'm not a fan. I think, you know, all the stuff he's gone through is more than enough penance, I guess, for anything bad that I think he may have done in his past.
Right.
But it would be good for the game if he came back. I don't see it, because I remember watching Tiger all those years, and he was just on another level. And I don't feel that a player like that knows how to compete when he's not as good as he was back then. Back then, he was so confident, and the putts and the short game stuff was just amazing. He didn't ever really hit it particularly consistently well.
No, he didn't.
But he was always able to save himself, and
right,
that confidence has been stripped away. And so, not to mention all the physical stuff, all the ailments and all that. So I'm not counting on Tiger ever winning another major. There's some people out there that think he will get one or two. He's, you know, got 10, 15 years maybe still to to be able to do it. But whatever that is that that made him make all those putts is just gone, and I don't see him ever really getting it back. Yeah. And the players right now, the young players, are just so good that even if he does play well, he's going to be contending with these all these young guns that are playing at another level. So
how do you think a Jordan Spieth would feel if he's paired in the last round with Tiger Woods and the crowd was pro-Tiger Woods, which he's never experienced?
And the crowd would be probably pro-Tiger.
I believe it would be. So here's a guy that's...
It wouldn't be anti-Jordan, though.
No, it wouldn't be, but you're right. He'd get some roars, but Tiger's going to get all the accolades.
Everybody's going to be wanting Tiger to win.
Right. So,
and that would be true if it was Jason Day or Rory.
Rory McIlroy, any of those guys. Yeah. Yes. So those guys haven't been exposed to that.
That's true.
At all. But Tiger's got to get there before he can ever experience that. But it would be interesting to see what would happen if there was 20,000 fans stampeding down the fairway that were yelling, "Let's go, Tiger."
Yeah. Well, now Tiger has gotten himself in position within the last 3-4 years in certain majors and not really, you know, falling apart in the final round. He has also, how many years ago was it that he was player of the year?
2013, I think five times.
Five wins just three years ago.
Right.
So, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And right now it's just speculation. Maybe he doesn't play in any of those tournaments, but he certainly, if he's planning on playing in the U.S. Open, can't make that his return, right? So,
He's going to play once or twice before that. So if that's going on with that, you know, the reservations for probably a house to rent or something like that, it's close for his return.
Yeah. So stay tuned, you know, for that one. Mentioned off the top that Rhett Taccone, normally in studio with us here, is out in California. And I had him on the line earlier today, and we had a very short conversation where he just gave us a quick update on what's going on out there and some of the stuff that we'll be having coming up on the Golf J podcast. So let me play that for you quickly right now. Well, I've got my partner Rhett Taccone out in California right now. Just concluded a great tour of some courses and facilities out there. A lot of stuff to look forward to coming up on the Golf J podcast and golfj.com. Rhett, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Jim. What's going on, bud? How are you?
Great. So, you know, what did you do out there for the past 4 days?
Well, I've been very busy. Been very busy. Went to between playing golf and going to some manufacturers. It's been been a busy few days. Still got another round of golf to go. I'm gonna visit with the guys at Link Soul this morning, and just been running around. I played Goat Hill Park, the redesigned, the redone course by John Ashworth out here. It's a public track out in Oceanside, California. Played that last week. That was cool. We'll do a review on that down the road a little bit on Golf J. I was able to play at La Costa Country Club in a tournament over here in Carlsbad the other day. And then yesterday played the Bridges, which is just a fantastic track over in Rancho Santa Fe. And then today I'm playing Rancho Santa Fe Country Club, and that'll conclude the trip. So 4 rounds of golf. And I also went and saw Even Roll Putters and met with Karen Reif, the designer for the new Even Roll Putters. Very, very cool, very good putter that I've been using the last few days. And I really like, and we'll talk a lot more about that. You know, that was one of the ones I put on our best of show from the PGA show, and, you know, things are moving forward with them, and they should be out to retail soon. So we'll talk about that as well.
Well, definitely looking forward to having you back in studio with me next Monday night, and to get my hands on that Even Roll putter and give that a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been following all your rounds on Game Golf, so that's been pretty cool.
Been using that every round, and that's been great. Unfortunately, the scores aren't as good as I'd like them to be, but it does help. It definitely tells me what I'm doing wrong, and you know, it's kind of like, hey, here's what you need to do better. Stop doing this so much, and you might be all right at golf. It's pretty cool, though.
All right, Rhett, have a safe flight back home, and like I said, we look forward to seeing you back up here in the studio next week.
Okay. Will do, and tell Doug Brown to keep my seat warm this week. Good luck tonight.
Well, there you go. Rhett, tough to be Rhett, I guess, out there and I guess he's got his hands on one of those even roll putters. So and he loves it. So he says it's the best putter he's ever putted with. So when he gets it back, we'll have to give it a shot.
It's funny how those new putters are always the best ones.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll talk about that in a second here. Right after the Golf J trivia question of the week, which John Daly set to debut on the Champions Tour. So that's the focus of this week's trivia question. Tweet your answer to @TheGolfJ on Twitter. First person to tweet us the answer will win a Golf J hat. And the question is, how many PGA Tour wins did Daly win in his career? So think about that or search it up on Google. Be quick about it. Answer at the end of the show when we talk about Daly's senior tour premiere. And we're going to also talk about whether John Daly belongs in the Golf Hall of Fame. So how many wins did John Daly record in his career? PGA Tour wins. So that would include the two majors he won. So if you're like me, you think that putting is the most important part of the game. As long as you can make that 5-foot par putt, it's a prerequisite to being a good player, and it's a mask for playing poorly and scoring well still. So I started out this year kind of struggling with a putter, and I'm thinking of switching putters, which I have 3 or 4 that I bang around between, but I was even thinking of maybe getting a new one, maybe an even roll. But when you set out for a new putter, Doug, what do you look for? If you go to Dick's or any place where there's a wall of putters, where do you start?
It's a great question. So I guess the first thing I'd look for is something that I like the look of, which is going to be hard to describe. But I typically like the look of the original Ping Answer type look, which is a Scotty Cameron. And there's many, many more versions of that. I think every putter manufacturer makes a putter head similar to a Ping Answer at this time. And then you can get all kinds of different face inserts, different colors, different metals, and then grip, or shaft length and grip, right? And then it becomes personal preference to a certain degree. You know, do you like the look of it? Do you like the feel of it? And is the grip the right diameter for you? And if you're putting poorly, really poorly, you probably should make dramatic changes in what it looks and what it feels like. So if I'm Ernie Els, I'm doing something different than what I was doing at the Masters, right? So there's some technical benefits to having certain styles based on how you putt. If you are a straight down the line back and forth putter, I think a more of a center shafted putter would probably be the technologically right answer. And then there's some putting styles like Ben Crenshaw where the putter face basically opened up a little bit on the way back and closed on the way through, and a heel shafted putter would be better for that. But none of that always makes sense to everybody.
Yeah, and I have both kinds of putters. I have blades, and I have the thicker, like I have a Odyssey Ghost with a one ball putter, and I can bounce between them, and sometimes a completely different look is what appeals to me when I'm struggling putting.
Right.
Get something totally different. But I agree with you that the most important thing is that when you're over that putter, you feel like it's lined up correctly, and it's, and you're not adjusting your stance to make it lay flat.
Right.
But it's tough because, you know, how many times have you bought a putter and putted great with it for like 3 days?
Well, they behave very well early on, no doubt.
And the other thing that I wanted to ask you is, what is putters nowadays are costing $300-$400,
right,
you know, for some of the, for Scotty Cameron, sometimes more.
Right.
The even roll putter I was talking about that Rhett has is retails for $300.
Right.
How, is there really that much more to that putter than, you know, the maybe not the bullseye that's sitting in been sitting in your bag for 40 years, but than just, you know, $100 Ping putter or even your old Ping Answer.
Right. So some of it's the materials different, which is going to drive the cost up to the manufacturer. But then you're getting into some brands like, I mean, Scotty Cameron's a big brand name, so you're going to pay a little bit more for that. Is it any better? I mean, I would say it's not a whole lot better than the 1972 ping answer that I got for $20.
We're just rolling a ball along a fast surface, flat surface.
But overall, we should invest more money in our putting than we do in our driving. And we do just the opposite.
That's right.
We'll spend $400 on a driver that you're going to hit 14 times on a typical golf course.
That's true.
But you're going to go out and putt, even just mediocre, 30, 32, 34 times. That's half of your game. Half a par is putting.
I think the reason is that, you know, with a driver, people can see the difference, you know, 10, 15 extra yards, where with the putting, it's either make or miss. And you can make or miss, like I said, with, you know, a 20-year-old putter as much as you can with a $500 Scotty.
Right. So you can go to a golf fitting shop and get fitted for a driver. They'll be able to put a club into your hands without changing your swing or your posture or anything, right? So they'll get you that club in your hands perfectly. You can do the same thing with a putter. But I would bet you if you called those guys, they get no putting business whatsoever.
Yeah.
No fittings for putters. And that's where we'd be better off going for that.
Yeah, I was fitted for my latest putter, Ping Scottsdale, and you know, they bent the shaft, so it was in the, and I stood over the mirror and everything. This was probably last July or August when I got that putter, and I've used it since. But I'm thinking now, because of how poorly I put it out the gate, that I might switch. I even put my old Odyssey Ghost in my car, so it's that much closer to being in play.
Right.
I haven't pulled the trigger just yet. But, you know, at the end of the day, those are just quick fixes for probably what's a poor fundamentals. You know, I'm moving over the ball. You know, I'm not lined up correctly.
Right.
So, for me, I guess a putter, if I feel like I'm lined up correctly, that's half the battle. And so that's why I'll sometimes change putter, because I feel like I'm lined up over putter, a certain putter.
So it's, and comfort level is a big deal. How many times you hear about a pro that went to Dick's and bought one for $19? And won the event that weekend.
It's Brian Stewart this week, used that putter for the first time.
There you go.
You know, and I'm, and with no bogeys, I'm sure he made a lot of par putts.
Right. So that putter might get put away, get enshrined.
Yeah, hey, one time.
One for one.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll have to see Wednesday night what putter I pull out. Right now it's still going to be that ping, I think, but really – probably best served by just spending some time on the putting green, you know, rather than going wholesale changes. But I can't wait to get my hands on that even roll putter that Rhett has and just see, because he's he's been raving about it to me.
Good.
So, what do we have next? Oh yeah, we had earlier this week. I talked to Billy Nachman, co-founder of Cricket Shirts. I've worn plenty of Cricket shirts, and they, we have them for sale in our pro shop at Seneca Falls Country Club. An old school classic feel and look to it. And early on in this interview with him, I told a story about how when I was younger, Stu Miller, my friend Rob Miller, his dad Stu, played in so many tournaments and won so much credit that upstairs in my buddy Rob's house in one of the corner rooms, there was just stacks of like balls, clubs, shirts and apparel. And so every now and then we used to go up there and just grab a shirt and pull it out of the plastic wrapping. And that's the feel I got when I opened up my Cricket shirt, you know, out of the package. I said, this feels like it's been sitting in a closet since 1979 because of the styling. And it's nice because it's such a contrast to the shirts, you know, that everybody's wearing today, the Nikes and the Under Armours. And even, like, Ashworth shirts, it's not the same. They're not Ashworth anymore.
They're not anymore.
Yeah, they're just not the same quality. So
so
this was something completely different, and I really liked them. Very comfortable. And so we got to talk to Billy Nachman, one of the co-founders, and I'll play you just a little bit of that half-hour interview now. You can check the full interview at golfj.com. So here, let me cue this up. And actually what we're going to lead off with this interview is DJ Trahan wore a Cricket shirt at the Valero Texas Open.
Okay.
And I asked him how that came about, and it was, that was, to me, was a pretty interesting part of this interview. So we'll play you that snippet right now.
And bass probably helps too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So DJ Trahan wore a Cricket last week at the Valero Texas Open.
And
how did that come about?
He reached out to us, his agent reached out to us last week, and he was, you know, coming in for the Valero to San Antonio, which is around you know, 70 miles south of Austin, and he had expressed an interest in our brand and sort of liked our marketing and actually liked the fact that we make a nice, comfortable cotton shirt. We met up with his agent in the middle of last week, and we gave him some shirts, and a couple members of our team went on Thursday to meet him and hung out with him for an hour or so during the rain delay. Said he's a super awesome guy, seemed really excited about the brand. There's no sort of formal arrangement at this point.
So he was kind of like just did it because he liked the brand, which is, that's really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously he doesn't have a shirt deal in place, but, you know, it felt good to have, you know, someone with his level of success taking interest in, and, you know, at least want to give the shirts a shot. And he made the cut. I think he had some back issues either end of day on Saturday or Sunday, but I think he had to withdraw, but he did make it through the first couple rounds and make the cut and played on Saturday. So we'll see where it goes. We haven't had a conversation with him since, but yeah, it was exciting. We've actually had another player a couple of years ago, Chris Doak, on the European tour, was wearing our shirts during the US Open at Pinehurst, which was kind of exciting too. So, you know, we have a couple ambassadors out there on several of the tours, whether it's, you know, PGA with DJ or Chris Doak on the Euro Tour, or, you know, a few guys on the Latin American Tour, or Canadian Tour. You know, it's nice to know that there's professionals out there who appreciate the product.
Well, I wore your red player shirt during the championship match of our club championship at Seneca Falls Country Club. I don't know if you noticed a sales spike or anything.
Definitely. It was huge. Yeah. What date was that?
That was Labor Day weekend of last year, and I lost. Had I won, it probably, you might have sold out other red model.
Bummer. That would have been a good story for us to tell, the red cricket shirt. Wins you a championship. Power
red. I wore blue in the semis and red in the finals. So
nice, good to know. Yeah, I think the Northeast is, you know, great. It's perfect weather for our shirts too. I think up where you guys are,
we had them in our pro shop at Seneca Falls. You know, we placed an order. We had a nice display. Sold nice. A good number of them. They definitely piqued the interest of. It stood out, you know, in the pro shop because we do have the Under Armour rack, and then, you know, right next to it is such a contrast with the cricket display. And so it's really a matter of personal taste. There's some people that probably would never wear a cricket shirt. And then there's some people that were just dying to find some sort of alternative to the, you know, the Under Armours and the Nikes, like you say, which, you know, occasionally I don't mind wearing the Under Armour, but I just feel more comfortable in the crickets. I like the way it looks. I look different than... It's funny too, you go to some of these golf tournaments and you'll see three different guys wearing the exact same Under Armour shirt, you know. And so if you really want to have a unique look and style, to find a brand like Cricut was great for me.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, you know, we definitely wanted to set out to build a brand that was different from the competition. So I'm glad that's resonating.
Billy, speaking of tournaments, there's the Invitational that you guys promote quite a bit down there in Austin. You got to tell us a little bit about that. Maybe we can get into that someday.
Yeah. Well, this year is the 10th anniversary of the Invitational. It was started by two guys in Austin, two friends. I think in the beginning, it was just kind of a way to get their friends together on a Saturday afternoon at Lyons Municipal Golf Course and play golf and have fun. And over the years, it's grown into the world's greatest golf party.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like you're having any fun at all at those things.
Yeah. No, it's funny. The best mustache wins a golf cart.
Wow.
The best dress wins a golf cart, and the lowest score gets booed. So you can get a sense of what kind of tournament it is. And I got to be honest, I would say less than half the people actually finish 15 holes.
Right.
So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great way for us to you know, meet folks in Austin and like-minded guys, and fits our demographic perfectly.
Are cricket shirts the required attire for the tournament?
That or whatever crazy costume people want to wear.
Right, caddy outfits.
If you're going with a sort of a 70s golf look Caddyshack, you're required to wear cricket, but some people come
Right.
dressed as, Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Piper. So, there's all kinds of crazy costumes.
Well, if you're interested in the brand, you can go to cricketshirts.com. That's CRICUETshirts.com. They're on Twitter at cricketshirts, Facebook.com/cricketshirts, and on Instagram, Instagram.com/cricketshirts. All great follows. A lot of funny pictures and some all good follows. I follow them on all those things, and I'm always happy when I see a new post. And that's actually how I learned about DJ Trahan.
Right.
When and so once I saw that, I was following Trahan. I was kind of pulling for him because
Sure.
Nice.
you imagine if he, it gets into contention on Sunday, all of a sudden your shirt's up there. That's like hitting the lottery almost. And
Yeah. No, we were pulling for him too. And thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. And yeah, we try and make things fun. So, if anyone's interested in following us on any of those channels, we're sure to make it a good time for you.
well, Rhett and I are big fans here at
Absolutely.
golfj.com. And Billy, appreciate you taking some time out to chat with us. So we're going to look forward to seeing what you guys come up with next.
Thanks, Billy.
Great. Thanks, gentlemen.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
See ya. So thanks for joining us on this special. Yeah, there it was. That was the end of the interview. You can check the full interview at golfj.com. Billy Nachman, a great guy, and they develop this irreverence around their brand that's kind of funny. And he always mentions Caddyshack, and it really the shirts kind of harken back to that era,
Right.
which was a great era in golf,
Sure.
So, and what goes around comes around. So I like the cricket shirts, and I have four of them in my closet. I'm looking to expand on that. So, hey. Fantasy Golf Primer for the Wells Fargo. This is a great tournament at Quail Hollow, which will be the site of next year's PGA Championship.
Right.
Some info real quick here. Charlotte, North Carolina, $7.3 million purse. Rory McIlroy won last year. 2014, it was J.B. Holmes. 2013, it was Derek Ernst. And then Ricky Fowler won it in 2012. TV, Thursday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. on the Golf Channel. Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 2:30 on the Golf Channel, followed by network coverage, 3 to 6 p.m. on CBS. Who, they gotta be a little thrown off by the Monday finish, right? CBS covers both these
Right.
events. They plan on packing up on Monday and heading down the road. Now, all of a
Right.
sudden, they're up against it, I assume.
So, but the Golf Channel covered it today.
But they had to still use the
Same
same,
feed.
CBS's cameras, and I
Right.
mean, I would be
Or do they
really,
have two sets?
they might. I'd just be really, I'm sure they do have enough equipment probably to do two at once, so maybe that's what they're doing. But I'm pretty sure that Golf Channel and CBS don't both lay camera
No, I agree
cables.
with
And
that.
so,
I
and
just think they must have two because you could be farther apart than New Orleans and Charlotte on
oh,
back-to-back weeks.
yeah, I think they got the budget for it
I
too.
think they can afford it, sure.
The other thing interesting that I've seen in golf telecasts recently is the cameras that are out on the course, on the tees with the players and stuff,
Right.
they don't have cables anymore. They have little antennas,
Right.
so it's all
All wireless,
wireless.
right.
Because when I was at the PGA Championship at Oak Hill a few
Right.
years ago, they were still running wires
Right.
like across the whole course,
Right.
too. So,
Yeah, I think they get better views for us, right? No
oh
matter where the
yeah.
guy hits the ball, we can see what's going on.
It's so the technology's getting better,
Right.
but yeah, maybe the on-air personalities have to. Although you're right, it was Nick Faldo wasn't there this morning. It wasn't Nick Faldo, and it was the Golf Channel guys.
Right.
So yeah, a lot of, it's interesting to think about the what a major production it all is for everybody involved: the PGA Tour staff, the greenskeepers, the players, their caddies, their entourages, and the television networks.
Okay.
So, anyways, we'll hope for better weather. This is a great tournament. Eight among the top 12 in the official world golf rankings are participating, and that would be Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, Brandon Grace, and Patrick Reed. So, that's a pretty strong field for
Sure
a
is.
regular PGA Tour event. McIlroy seeks his third title, clearly feels comfortable at Quail Hollow. He holds the 72-hole scoring record and the two best 18-hole scores, and he would have won this tournament three times had he not lost in a playoff to Fowler in 2012. So, you know, McIlroy's got to be a favorite this year. Would you – I mean, he hasn't been playing good.
He hasn't been. I think my struggle with Rory as a favorite in this event is this course is set up like a U.S. Open, so it's going to have thick rough. And Rory hasn't been hitting a whole lot of fairways. You know, during his run, he hit fairways and make putts. I don't see that happening right now with him. I love to see him. I got him in my fantasy league, you know, so it'd make me a couple dollars too. But I don't see him being a threat.
Yeah, just the way he performed on the weekend at Augusta was a red flag that, you know, his game's not where we'd expect it to be. And
his game there mostly was short game was awful. Although Augusta's a little bit it's difficult with there's pretty wide fairways at Augusta overall. And there's no real rough to speak of. They call it the second cut.
Yeah.
I think it's a half inch.
Right.
But you're going to see 3 and 4 inch rough, I would think, this week. That's a different game.
Also this week, Jim Furyk comes back, sidelines in September with wrist problems. Tough course to make your debut on, but it's Furyk's type of course, right?
It's a fairway guy. He's a fairway guy. He's going to hit 75% of the fairways. This tournament's in a perfect location, spot-wise, in the calendar. You know, the Masters has now been over a month ago, right?
Right.
Or virtually a month ago. Everybody had their break, and now they're getting ready for Sawgrass a week from now. You saw Jason Day play this week. He's going home for a week. He's got a different approach. A lot of guys like to play the week prior. So I think that's why you see so many top names playing this week. And then they'll go right from here to Sawgrass. And Sawgrass is home for Jim Furyk.
Yeah, so it's perfect for him to come back. A lot less hubbub surrounding his return, I guess.
Sure.
Phil Mickelson will be there. 13 consecutive starts at Quail Hollow for lefty. 8 top 10 finishes. Ended up tied for 4th last year and came in 2nd in 2010. He's another guy that's been playing horribly. You know, he missed the cut at Augusta, which is, of course, well-suited to his game.
Yeah. But prior to Augusta, he was doing pretty well. He had a couple top fives.
That's why there's a lot of people are saying it might be fatigue with him. You know, he's getting older, and he played a pretty aggressive schedule in the first half of 2016. You know, it's still tough to count him out of any tournament he enters. It's just you don't know which one he's going
to. You always got to watch for him.
You have Bryson DeChambeau and Ali Snyder-Jeans both on sponsor exemptions in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Webb Simpson's a Quail Hollow resident, lives about a mile from the clubhouse, and again is looking for a home turf victory because he held the 54-hole lead in 2012 before stumbling. 5 other Charlotte residents joined Simpson looking for the hometown win. That's Brandon DeJong, which I didn't know he was from North Carolina, Jason Kokrak, Martin Laird, who's from Scotland but obviously lives in North Carolina now, Kyle Reifers, and Johnson Wagner. So you're not going to pick Rory. Who's your pick?
My pick is Patrick Reed.
Hey, you know, nobody has been played better this year without winning than Patrick Reed, I think. You know, I can't disagree with you there. I'm going to go with Adam Scott. He's number one in FedEx points.
Right.
And I did pretty good last week. I
sure did.
My sleeper pick was Jamie Lovemark.
Yes.
Didn't win.
You almost had it.
But no, none of us picked Brian Stewart, so.
Right. You win by default.
So this will be a great tournament to watch, mainly because the fact that you know there's going to be a PGA Championship on this course next year. So that'll be interesting. I'm surprised that all the top players aren't playing in it with knowing that there'll be a major there next year. The final 3 holes are called the Green Mile. They're considered the toughest, or perhaps the toughest closing stretch on tour. So it's always fun. You know, I don't like seeing birdie holes on the last 3. You know, I like to see there be birdie opportunities, but also double bogey opportunities.
Sure.
So it'll be a fun tournament to watch as long as it doesn't rain like it did in New Orleans this week. So, so you got Patrick Reed. I've got Adam Scott. You have a sleeper pick.
My sleeper pick, and you're going to have to help me with the name. Who was that young man that finished fourth in this week's tournament?
Wyatt.
Billy Wyatt.
And is he in the field?
He automatically gets an invite because he finished in the top 10.
Oh, wow. Great.
So I'm going to take Billy Wyatt. He's number 1,200 in the world.
That right is a sleeper.
Yes.
But he finished fourth this week.
Got beat by a shot.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to stick with a little higher ranked sleeper than that. I don't think I know anybody else. I don't know who the 1,100th player is or even the 900th ranked player. But I'm going to go with Martin Laird. He's, as I mentioned, Scottish native, won in the fall. What was the big tournament he won in the fall? A FedEx tournament or was it a World Golf Championship? He won a big one. I should have better information. But I'm going with Martin Laird. Again, he can drive from his house to the course. I think that makes a big difference, honestly, if you're looking for a sleeper. So, all right, we've been talking about or teasing a little bit that we were going to talk about the LPGA Tour a bit tonight. And I watched the majority of the final round of the LPGA tournament on Sunday, and I was rooting for Jarena Pillar, Martin Pillar's sister.
Martin Pillar's wife.
Wife, yeah, sorry. Different. Big difference. And I want to be a fan of the PGA Tour, or the LPGA Tour, two things I take away. One is, 7 of the top 12 in this tournament were South Korean golfers. And Jenny Shin, I kind of like her. She's got a pretty smooth swing. She's young. She's had 20 career top 10s before this win. Mm-hmm. She turned pro in 2011, started playing golf at the age of 9. And, all these players are really nice swings and great short games. It's no surprise that the South Korean golfers are dominating. Mm-hmm. At the risk of, I don't want to call it racist, but it's tough for American viewers to even tell some of them apart with the names because the names are so foreign. Jenny Shin, I think that's a name that could do well. Lydia Ko is where's she from?
New Zealand.
So even someone like that, it's tough to kind of differentiate a little bit, but. So we have a Jarena Pillar leading after 54 holes, and Julie Inkster's there watching, and everybody's just dying for an American to emerge and challenge some of these South Koreans. She didn't come through. She really played poorly in the final round and made some untimely bogeys. Birdied the last hole she finished tied for second with two other South Koreans, Amy Yang and Mi Jung-her. And Shan Chan Fang is from China, and she's a very impressive golfer. So the quality of play is there. Why can't our American girls, challenge the Asian women?
I don't know the answer to that overall. I guess if somebody did, we wouldn't be sitting here on the show right now. But from Jarena going into Sunday, I'm sure it was the first time she left for 54 holes. We already talked about a two-shot lead's not that big of a cushion. I'm sure she was nervous. Probably tried to be cautious out there, play conservative. Didn't go get it, right? When she played the first 54 holes, she hit 52 out of 54 greens. That's pretty darn good playing, right? And no bogeys on round 2 and round 3. Or no, she didn't have any bogeys. Yeah, nothing on 2 and 3. But I think for her, it was just the lack of being there. I think for her, too, is USA, the Americans could certainly use somebody like her to win. She's marketable. Especially her husband's on the other tour as well. There was a commercial she was on during the course of the event.
Yeah.
Her and her husband both were that shaving cream thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's what holds back the prize money on that tour. The girl that won that tournament won $196,000 to win. That's like a top 20 finish on the men's tour.
Yeah. It's not even close. But you can't compare the public interest in America. Now, if you go to South Korea, women's golf is bigger than men's golf. Women's golf is big, is as big as the NBA is here, right?
Yeah. But it wasn't long ago, Patty Sheehan, Nancy Lopez, Pat Bradley dominated, right? And I think the prize money was closer. They saw a lot more ads on TV. You saw a lot more club manufacturers on their golf bags. You know, Ping was a big player in the LPGA back in the day. You won't see a Ping bag out there now.
Yeah, well, Nancy Lopez and Jack Nicklaus were kind of, you know, on the same level in terms of public awareness, I guess.
Right. You know, if a Michelle Wee won 7 tournaments a year, that tour might get more American exposure.
Right? Well, they say that Sayri Park, when she emerged, that she inspired the next generation of South Korean women golfers. Right. So who's the American golfer that's going to inspire? Because there's no doubt that the college women's college golf in this country produces a lot of good players. Right. So it's just amazing the domination by the South Koreans. And now, since the start of 2015, only 5 different women have won on the LPGA Tour. That's in 41 tournaments. Lexi Thompson won 3. Christy Kerr won 2. Brittany Lincecum won once. Chris Tomoulis won 1. And Jessica Korda won 1. So you're talking about 8 tournaments out of 41 on the American Tour being won by American golfers.
And Stacey Lewis has fallen off the map. She hasn't won since 14. Number 1 in the world for at least a few weeks. She's off the map. Michelle Wee, mentioned her name once. She won the U.S. Open. She wasn't on your list, though, was she? Michelle Wee?
No.
Because she won in 14.
Yeah, this was just since the beginning of 2015.
But there's no doubt there's a Korean or at least an Asian dominance in professional ladies golf.
Yeah, and credit to some of the golfers from South Korea. They speak great English, where I don't see our American golfers learning Korean.
That girl interviewed very well.
Yeah.
You know, they play a good game. They're down the fairway. They're on the green. I went and watched
smooth swings.
I watched a Symetra Tour event last year in Rochester. Different skill level, but same concept. They kind of plop it down the fairway, plop it on the green, and make some putts.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I'm watching the final round. I'm rooting for Piller, but the South Korean women just aren't going to give it to her. You know, she had to earn it. She needed to, play bogey free like Jenny Shin did.
We got the Olympics coming up. I don't consider us a threat, really.
No, probably not, especially when you're, and Piller could make her way in there, but yeah, it's a conundrum, I think, for the LPGA, as we've been talking about for years now. Right. And, Jerina Piller's been playing great. She's been...
She's had a nice run. Last month?
Four straight top 6 finishes.
Yeah.
So, maybe next week.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to see it.
So the answer now to our trivia question: how many PGA Tour wins does John Daly have? And the answer is just 5, which is unbelievable because this guy is like a heavy hitter. So Daly starts a new chapter in his career this week when he makes his Champions Tour debut at the Insperity Invitational outside of Houston. Looking back on what Daly has accomplished, 2 major wins, and really captured the interest of America with his grip it and rip it appeal. He attracted a lot of fans to the game. The question is John Daly going to be in the Golf Hall of Fame? Because I think if you just said, hey, John Daly, is going to be in the Golf Hall of Fame, most people would say yes. But then you say, well, guess what? He's only won 5 PGA events.
And 2 of them are majors.
Yeah, which goes a long way. Right. But if Daly hung it up today, does he get in the Golf Hall of Fame?
Tough call. Like Sean McKeel won the PGA at Oak Hill. He's got 1 major, 1 win. Not on the ballot.
Right.
Freddie Couples, 1 major, and I think only 11 PGA wins.
But he's in.
And he's in.
He lowered the bar.
Yes. So is Daly's career at a par with Freddie Couples? It's an interesting debate, right?
They both are
media moguls. Everybody loves them.
Brought people to the game. Yes. Really great characters woven into the fabric of the game of golf. you know, Freddie Couples a lot more clean cut, I suppose, than John Daly. Right. But, you know, John Daly was an American, you know, icon for a brief period there. Right. And then, you know, the five wins for Daly were the 1991 PGA, 1992 BC Open down in Endicott, New York, 94 Bell South Classic, 95 Open Championship, the one where he went head-to-head with Constantino Rocca.
Right.
And then 9 years later, he won at the Buick Invitational in San Diego. That was his last win. Also won the BMW International Open in 2001. That's a European tour. And twice lost in a playoff. 2005 Shell Houston Open to Vijay Singh. And the World Golf Championship American Express lost in a playoff to Tiger Woods. So the one thing to me that really kind of answers that question, though, is that John Daly's never even been on a Ryder Cup team. That's kind of hard to believe, too. And, you know, he never earned his way on points and was never a captain selection. Right. So how in through this whole era that you didn't do well enough to get on a Ryder Cup team, can you be in the Golf Hall of Fame? Unless they put a lot into the fact that, you know, that he just changed the game and was such a great character for the game.
Sure.
I guess.
Initially, he grew the game with a population of people that probably weren't exposed to the game before he showed up on the scene, because he brought a whole different genre into that TV following and probably showing up at the tournaments as well to watch him play.
So I think that goes part of it. Can he do anything now on the Champions Tour to solidify his resume? Like, if he wins 3-4 times in the Champions Tour, does that make his resume better? Does he need to maybe win a U.S. Senior Open?
I suppose it can't hurt because it's the same PGA. I think you got to be 50 years old now to be considered, which now he qualifies. I think they changed the age criteria to be 50. So now he'd be on the ballot. I guess you call it on a ballot if it's like other sports. But I guess as his success continues, I guess it should be considered.
Yeah. The Champions Tour is amazing right now, really. You know, but
I think he gets in someday.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to leave him out. But it depends a lot on who's voting him in.
Right.
For every man fan, he's probably got an enemy of a sports writer, you know, somewhere who has a vote, who just doesn't like the guy.
But Tiger Woods probably has that as well, and you can't keep him out when he's 50.
Yeah, well, his stats are undeniable.
No doubt, but who's going to vote, right? It's everybody's got somebody who doesn't like him.
Yeah, so John Daly's biggest problem, I think, has been women. He keeps getting married and divorced and married and divorced, and every one of those divorces has to be just, financially killing him. And then, obviously the mental toll, he's been arrested for domestic violence.
Yes, he is.
So, and now he's engaged again.
Oh, boy.
So, hold on. And he cut a country music album in there for, too. He's amazing guy. I've always loved John Daly. It's just, I was shocked when kind of preparing for the show when I saw that he has only won five times on tour.
And I'll say that this week's Senior Tour event probably has the biggest crowd all year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
To watch him.
And it'll be worth watching. Now, will he even make the cut? Will he throw a club into the water?
Who knows what he might do, right?
Remember the time where I think it was a major where he was on the green and he just slapped the ball off the green.
Yes.
And,
Well, he putted up and rolled back.
Yeah, and then he got frustrated.
Yes. Well, there's no telling what he might do. He could shoot 60. And from there, who knows?
Well, we'll find out. A lot of good golf to watch this week. Doug, thanks a lot for having me. And next week's is the Players' Championship, so maybe you come back for the Players.
I'll be here.
And, man, we're getting into a great time of year.
Yes, it is.
So, and Rhett will be back from California with a whole bunch of stories and course reviews and products, and who knows what he's going to come back with. So thanks everybody for spending some time with us on the golfj.com podcast. Connect with us online, Twitter at the golfj, Instagram at @_golfj, and search for golfj on Facebook. All of our episodes and the best of the wide world of golf on the web can be found at golfj.com. We'll be back next Monday night at 9 p.m. Until then, hit them long, not often.
GolfJ.com.